The Gemara, that talks about our relationship with Rishoyim in this world. There are a few Gemaras here that talk about it. It's actually an extremely complicated subject. When is it permitted to start up with Rishoyim and Olam Hazeh? So the Gemara begins with Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Again, says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, "Mutar his garos b'rishoyim be'olam hazeh." It's permitted his garot, giroi, is to sort of fight here. Rishoyim be'olam hazeh. It's permitted to fight rishoyim be'olam hazeh. Shneimar oz ve'toira yahalu rosha. Says Mishlei, oz ve'toira. Those people who abandon the Torah, so they end up praising rishoyim yahalu rosha. The Shomrei Torah, but those who guard the Torah is Goru Bom. Shomrei Torah, they're not, once a person leaves Torah, so in the end in life he starts praising Rishoyim. That's how it is. However, Shomrei Torah, those people who guard Torah is Goru Bom. They fight Rishoyim. They start up with them. Don't allow them to go. Now, the simple pshat in this pasuk, there's a Gemara that says in Beitza that if you see a Talmud Chochum that has problems with anger, so you should know that it's the Torah that's the cause of his anger. Talmud Chochum, because it's Eish Torah. Torah is Eish. And since the Torah is Eish, so once a person learns Torah, the Eish is boiling inside of him. He starts getting upset about things. Now, simple pshat in this Gemara is like this: that a person who learns, so he, he has a certain kedusha of the Torah inside of him, and a person like that, now it becomes more difficult for him to be sovel things in this world, like injustice, immorality, things two people live improperly. The Torah pushes him. And it's not like a person who learns Torah, he gains sensitivities to Ra, and it bothers him. He can't just, that's the way thing is, what's the big deal, what's the difference? The altar of Kelim once, somebody said to him that he was upset for a couple of days, he was agitated, so they asked, what's the matter? So the other day I was out and I saw, I think it was a Jew stealing hay from a non-Jew's wagon. He says, how could a person do such a thing? What's the matter with it? How could it be? He was agitated. Now, in Olam Hazeh, we have a way of, that's the way things are. Everybody does these things, what's the big deal? Of course it's not right, but that's just the way the world is. What's the big deal? But somebody who acts, think like that, we think like that only because we don't have the Torah mibifnim. We don't have the Eish Torah inside, and therefore you can be sovel. It doesn't bother you, injustice. Doesn't bother you. So we cheated. It's a big deal. So when you learn stories, it's not supposed to be like that. I remember once when I was in America, so I was speaking with a psychologist. There are a couple of them there. And they were talking about this guy. They're from psychology. They're talking about this client of theirs, whatever, once who was married and he had certain problems and he was carrying on, adultery affairs with these other people. So when I heard him talk about that, so I said, I was just listening, I just come back from it. He did what? What did he do? So look at me like, what are you getting so, good, what are you getting so excited about? People do that all the time, and they're right. It happens all the time, the clients, good, we have to deal with it, but it's a psychological problem. Anyway, with Torah, that's what the Pshat and the Gemara, and that often, that can spill over also. We have to be careful, kapdan, like Shammai, We talk about Shammai as being a kapdan, it doesn't mean to say that he was, bad midas, chas v'shalom. It's a way of saying, the Eish Torah, made it difficult for him to be sovel. Justice, things don't act properly, people aren't doing wrong in this world. And we're supposed to be like that, we're supposed to care deeply about justice, people acting improperly. not supposed to be much sweet. It's supposed to bother you. Avada, you have to control yourself. You know, and there's no benefit in saying anything. You know, remain quiet. But, you know, for us, it's a little too easy to remain quiet. It's not like, well, you know, there's a chiv of tochacha here, but if there's no benefits, I'll remain quiet. So I'll do, you know, that's sort of like, well, that's a problem. All right, I'll remain quiet. You know, what's the big deal? But really, it's supposed to be that a person is supposed to have that ish. Then you follow halacha, and you have to control it on the right flame. Anyway, so the Mishnah writes, always ve Torah, but those people who abandon Torah, in the end, first they don't, it doesn't bother them, and in the end they start praising for Shem. They become their heroes in the end. Because these are the people who get ahead, these are the people who have money and fame and wealth and power, and you know, all people take pictures of them. Always ve Torah yahalu rosha. Risha, I have to look up inside what the vocalization is. Misham rei Torah. Is garba, but what we want of him is this. Rishon Baichai, this is Rishon Baichai speaking. Shomer Torah is garuba. Shomer Torah is fights Rishoyim.
Yeah.
As a result, says Reb Shimon, you see from here, mutter his garus Rishoyim bi'olam hazeh. It's permitted to fight Rishoyim in Israel. Now, the Mefarshim, I want to deal with the following thing. First of all, let's analyze his language a little bit. What does it mean, mutter lihizgaros b'rishoyim bi'olam hazeh? What kind of language is that? Say, fight with rishoyim. What do you mean, permitted? It's mutar. Mashma, what's the language of mutar? Mutar is mashma. That it should be usher.
Right.
Only, I say it's mutter. It certainly doesn't need to be a lechatchila.
Right.
It's mutter. What's the cousin of mutter? What do you mean, mutter? It's a mitzvah. You should say, mitzvah lihizgaros b'rishoyim. They're doing rishoyim. They're rishoyim, mitzvah. Well, what's mutter? The second question is, what's the pshat olam hazeh? Why is it bothered by these words? What are these garish b'shoyim ba'olam hazeh? Well, we're not talking about olam habor. You know what I mean to say? They're not b'shoyim in olam habor. Just say, what are these garish b'shoyim? What's olam hazeh? You hear? It's a good diuk. I have your haskama.
Yeah.
Olam hazeh. What do we need olam hazeh? Mitzvah. So Rashi learns like this. The reason his mutter is that there's a habit to say that it would be awesome to fight with Rishonim in this realm because of sakana. You know, and a person isn't allowed to put himself in a situation of danger. And who says it's permitted to, with Rishonim? These people have a lot of power and influence. And,
right.
He says it's permitted. The Havino here is that it's also to do anything to them because you're putting yourself in a state of danger. And that's why he's Madgish Olam Hazeh. You know, Olam Hazeh, Olam Habo already, you can start off with, you know, whoever you want. You know, Kodesh Baruch is in control. But in Olam Hazeh, you're starting off with Rishoyim. In Olam Hazeh, you're going to start fighting with Rishoyim. Well, where do you think you are? How could Olam Hazeh is a very hidden world here? Kodesh Baruch Hu created Olam Hazeh. It means that he gave Rishoyim the ability and a lot of power, and he's very hidden. And how can it be that you could actually? Where do you think you are? You think you're acting in? You know, as I say, so fortunate. Once years ago, I remember my wife. Really, my wife and I, but she was really doing most of the work. She started doing some tzedakah work for some guy who said he was collecting money for people with cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And he came up and gave this long story, and he needs the money, and he wanted to collect money for. So, you know, my wife started doing all sorts of things and collecting money for him, and then all of a sudden one day we got a call on the telephone. So I picked up the phone, and, you know, it says, you know, I want you to tell you something, that this guy, who you're helping out so much, yeah, he's an underworld fellow, and everything he's saying, he's sheker, and, yeah, and you're not doing anybody any mitzvah, and hangs with the phone.
Wow.
Didn't want to tell us anyway, and hangs with the phone. I said, good. Lashon Hara, and I'm kind of, anyway, we checked into it, you know, and it turned out, it was called from somebody else, we found out in the end that Memis, the person, was a lawyer, was a chief. And he was a person or whatever. He had certain underworld connections, and he was go around and he was, you know, shakran. He would go around trying to get me. So I called up, you know, my teacher at the time. Oh, what am I going to do about this? And I'm upset with this guy being a young idiot. You know, and I'm upset about this guy. What am I going to do? I'm going to lie. Imagine he's taking money for cerebral palsy and stop taking it for who knows what. And it's lying. He takes this. So I called up my teacher. I said, what should I do? I said, what do you want to do? I said, I'm going to tell him off, this guy. So he said to me, you're going to tell him what? I said, don't you dare. I said, what should I do? I'll tell you what you do. Yeah, the next time he calls you, you say, all right, I'm going to try to help you out. And then, yeah, when he comes to pick up, I'd like to give him a few dollars or something like that. He says, what happened? Tell him your wife is getting sick and she's so busy and she's on the verge of a nervous breakdown. She can't do anything. Another week, do the same thing. Third week, do the third thing. Yeah, a fourth week, go around and say, I'm really sorry. I mean, she's so sick, I can't do it, you know. And you just sort of bow out of it. So I said, you know, you see, she said, well, what are you guys in Russia? So he said to me, yeah, and that's how you deal with Rishayim and Olam Hazeh. You take them on. You start screaming about them and Olam Hazeh, well, what's going to be, there's not going to be left of you. That's not the way you deal with Rishayim. Yaakov Avinu, you know, even with Esav, you go with trickery with them. And Olam Hazeh, you have to try to figure out how to deal with them, topple with them underneath the table this way.
Instead of being ashamed to say, listen, we checked into it, we realized that your charity is not legitimate and we're not going
to
help you.
Yeah, he told me not to say that. It's too direct. Too direct. You don't deal with Rishayim that way. If he's a regular person, okay. Who knows? The person could be a dangerous person. Be careful. Not so simple. Not so simple. You get involved with these people, you don't do it. And you know, all of us there means it's a place where Ra is a lot of power. And right. You have to take it seriously. Do the proper establish, you know, to deal with them. Yaakov Venus, they're buying off Esau. You know, it isn't so simple how you deal with these things. You know, it's even you should know that this applies. Not only is that, but you should know that it applies towards the Yetzer as well. Huh. What is the person Gemara Ryan Girui Beine Asadin? I think it's a bio who says you don't find out. You never take what do you don't say the Yetzer Hara. You never. I'm going to shoot arrows at you. I'm going to get you. Never take the Yetzer on directly. Say you rush. I'm going to get you, fool. I'm never going to do it again. If you start dealing with the Yetzer that way, you're finished. In Olam Hazeh, that's the way you deal with evil. You start fighting it directly and screaming, I'm going to get you, you're nothing, I'm going to fight you, give me a break. That's the way you deal with the Yetzer Hara. Yeah, he'll throw you down so quickly, there won't be anything left of you in the end. Get you running. Wow. Never get angry again, never, I'm going to fight you, I'm going to fight you. Yeah, the next day you're going to be like, you know, hitting your wife, you know, what you're going to do, you have no idea. It's not the way you're doing it. You have to squat underneath the table. Wait, you want to get angry? I understand that. I hear you. But, you know, let me try. I can give you what you want, really. And, you know, there's no real reason to go further. What benefit am I going to get from it? Little by little, you take a little the strategies. Because, anyway, that's all the mazeh. Helam. It's a hidden world. It's not simple. So, you might think as a result that the Gemara was saying that it's forbidden. You might think that it would be also to be misgarb at Rishoyim Olam Hazeh. Anytime you deal with Rishoyim, like my teacher said, you deal with Rishoyim, nothing open and direct battles with Rishoyim in this world. Everything has to be under the table. Everything has to be with cleverness. Everything has to be, you know, with care and discretion. Sekundus nefashos. You can't take a person on. And that comes from Shimon Bar Yochai and says, well, it's mutter, do it, you can do it, it's mutter. He doesn't say it's a mitzvah, that already not. It's mutter, I'm telling you it's mutter.
That's what he did.
Oz Veitara, Ya'alu Rosh, V'shom Reitara, Yisgaru Bom. You're learning the Torah is the age of the Torah, you can protect you, you're doing something wrong. You tell them, like you said, it's what you're saying, it's not listed, it's an improper charity, you're going to get it, I'm going to call the Mishtara, I'm going to get
Don't have to call anyone, just say, I'm not going to help you out. Listen, I'm not calling anyone, just, you know, that I'm not going to help you because you know it's out on the table. You know, let's move on. You don't have to get mad at him, you don't say you're going to get him in trouble.
Just all right.
Find someone else.
You're right. Okay. Not so bad. Be careful. I'm just telling you, my teacher didn't tell me this.
Right.
He went one step below you. He said even that was... not to a person who's like Marvish, an underworld figure.
Yeah.
A person who's an underworld figure is the kind of possibilities of things. You just get them off your back in a slight way. You don't want to get on their bad side. You know, next thing you know, you get beat up. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Take it on a person's garage. And, so, but Rav Shimon says it's mutter. That's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai with his, you know, learning Torah. It's mutter. Derech Agav, this was a machlokas already with the days of, you know, Achashverosh, that is a medrash. Tesla talks about it. You know, Mordechai, you know, Haman comes by, and so the medrash writes that Mordechai not only did he not get out of the way, but he dafka walks to a place where Haman was, you know, asking everybody to, you know, asking everybody to, you know, bow down, and comes Mordechai and walks in, you know, I'm bowing down to you. You Russia, I'm learning Torah, you think I'm gonna bow down to you? No, not gonna do it. And Haman looks at him, you know, he's not gonna get bowed to me. Next thing we know, we have a gezerah on Kol Klal Yisrael to wipe out all of Am Yisrael. And the Gemara says that Am Yisrael had such had tainas on Mordechai.
Oh, yeah.
What are you? What kind of leader are you? What are you, crazy? What are you? How? In all of his, that's not the way we deal with Roshon and all of his. You go out of your way to be there. I said, I'm not going to bow down to you, but Rabbi, to this megalomaniac. You know what I mean? If that's a proper English word. I mean, these people are crazy people. They're people that they'll kill you. They'll kill you for their, you know, even an inch of covet. They'll kill you without any kapeda. They don't care. We don't know who these people are. They're not normal people like me. You know, these are people who are. They're achsari, and you offend them a little bit. It's nothing to them to step on you like a fly, you know. And there's Mordechai running. I'm not going to bow down to you. And the next thing you know, there's a gezeira of shmad, yeah, millions of Jews because of this crazy thing, you know. So it says Klal Yisrael had a tremendous tie on him. It's not the way you were hurt. And what did Mordechai do? He brings out this gemara. Mutter at least got it for a show. The other has yes. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Mutter. Bemis the Maharal asks in Or Chodesh. He asks, how could Mordechai have done it? Brings an Agamara. So he says Mordechai was paskin like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And he says Avadi over there for all of Klal Yisrael at a time of the Zemeshman. We all know that behind Mordechai's thing over there, there was Ruach HaKodesh. You know, Mordechai was. There was Ruach HaKodesh, and there were people. He understood there was a gezeira from Shemayim, and Tikkun Olam was necessary. And put there's a whole, you know, Torah behind this. So the Maharal said, Mordechai learned this Maimer of Shem Bayichai, and you know, so he learned like Rosh Hashanah, Shem Bayichai, and like Mordechai, whatever it should be. And it's the same pasuk. And so we paskin. Okay, it's a chiddush. Do it, mutter. Go ahead. You want to do it? You have that fire in you. I'm not bowing down to you. I'm not doing it. You gotta go out of your way to walk when he's going by. I believe in Hashem. Keep the Torah. So he did. He brought on a gezeira shma. Didn't care. Tikkun. So anyway, that's where we start. From Shimon Bar Yochai, it's mutter his garas from Yom Kippur. Ois veitar yahal Russia. Okay, but a brisa like this. Okay, ask the Gemara Kasha. Now there was a Talmud there, in the base medrash, and the Talmud asks Shimon Bar Yochai a question, and sounds like a good question. Says that David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, he writes, Al tischar b'mereim, Al tikne b'ozei avla. Now this Talmud, he learned Pshat in Tehillim like this. What does it mean, Al tischar b'mereim? What does Al tischar b'mereim mean? It means, he learned that in words like this, don't get angry at Rishayim. Valtikne, but obviously Avla, Tikna is a language. Tikna is a language of, you know, zealousness. Don't be a zealous. When people are doing avla, they're doing injustice. Al tikne. What?
Pinchas the Zimri.
That's exactly not like him. In other words, al tikne the osei avla. David Melech writes, don't, when you see people doing avla, says David Melech, don't be a kanoi. You hear me? Al tikne the osei avla. Al tikne the osei avla. It's a fairish pasuk in Tehillim. Al tikne. Enough with your kanoi. Yeah, people are osei avla. Quiet. You remain quiet. Aye, they're doing right. Good, if you can be machich them, get them to change, you say something. But stop, a president is a osei avla, or I'm going to listen to you. To come and say, in the name of Hashem, I'm not going to. So you see, David HaMelech Beferish says not like.
It's possible.
Wow.
So, you know, it happened to be that these people used to learn how to, they used to know how to learn Tanakh, you know, I mean, like. Tanaim, you know, Amaroim, they could build every pasuk in Tanakh to answer all their questions. Mishlei, Tehillim, they had rayas for all their questions in life. You know, that's how they knew. They knew Tanakh backwards and forwards. Not like us. Don't live with them. You know, I don't know who could quote a pasuk Baal Peh from Tehillim as a raya for this. And like how they live. Anyway, so this Talmud asked for Shimon Bar Yochai, and however. It's not so simple. It's not so so simple asking Rav Shimon Bar Yochai a question. you have to be careful. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai turns to this person and says to him, "That's the pshat in Tehillim. You know how to learn Tehillim. That's the pshat there." He says, "You know why you're learning that pshat in Tehillim? It's because you're afraid. You're afraid of Rishoy, aren't you? You have a bias over here with the Negiya. The Pachad of Rishoy, you're afraid of them. Who am I to tell you?" And he says, "What are you afraid about? Why are you afraid of them so much?" He says, "The reason we're afraid of them so much is because you yourself are doing a virus. That's the source of your fear." I'm not going to talk about this, but often the reason why people are afraid, the reason why we're afraid of things so much is because in the end we do a verot, and because of that, yeah, we intrinsically, we sort of sense that they have some sort of power and shlita over us, and because of that we're afraid. He writes that a person who's afraid, he finds he's afraid of this person, he suffers from fear, so he should turn his fear back to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and say directly, "I'm worried, Hashem, you're going to give me an onesh," and forget all these people, and then that's the mevatel his fear. So he writes, the person should do, take his fear and bring it back. So Rav Shimon said to him, "Yeah, that's the pshat in Tehillim. Why, the only reason why you're learning that pshat is because you're afraid, and the only reason why you're afraid is because you're doing averes yourself, and then you read Tzitzit Tehillim and you have a kasha, then you ask me a kasha." So it's a kind of question, isn't it? Elamai, what does it mean? Al tikne bi osei avla? It doesn't mean, the pshat in David HaMelech isn't that you shouldn't become jealous against osei avla, and that way you shouldn't be kanoi against them. The pshat is, don't be jealous of them. David HaMelech is saying, don't try to be like osei avla. Don't be jealous of them. Don't feel like you want to be part of, be like them. That's what he's trying to tell you. Not you shouldn't have a kanoi. The exact opposite. In this world, yeah, it's not enough that you don't want to fight them, but we envy. Don't envy them. We envy Rishon. We envy people who do things wrong and get ahead in this world. Not only are we not angry at them, but we envy them underneath. We wish. One girl said to me a few months ago, I was going out to America. I met this girl who used to be a girl at our school when I was teaching. And then she went back to America a few years ago, and she was going out, and she was having a really hard time. She did him in New York. And she kept meeting guys who were really no good for her. And whatever, she in general hated Shidduchim. She had her own issues, and she couldn't stand going out Shidduchim. So, you know, she hated it. She was tearing her apart. So she said to me one time, she was so upset, she said, "I want to tell you something. She's eating me up," she said. "When I was in high school, I was such a goody-goody," you know, and she said, "Yeah, I was Shomer Nikia. I didn't have any boyfriends. I didn't have any of these types of things. nothing, you know. And I stayed there. I even went through seminary, you know. And good, I didn't come to classes every day. Yeah, that's what she told me. She didn't come to classes every day. She goes, but I was always a good. I never gave trouble. I was always very mocked in guys. I never spoke to them. I did anything, you know. She said, all my friends, you know, were going out, you know, and had all these boyfriends. They had these boyfriends. And some of them married these boyfriends, you know what I mean? And now they're happy and they're married and they're having a good time, you know what I mean? And everybody looks at them like they're okay, and everybody, you know what I mean? And me, yeah, I'm the one who is such a good thing to show me, you know, all these things. And I'm there wandering, schlepping around, going for years on Shidduchim in such a way, zero, you know, and just setting up with all these people. And I can't even meet a guy who's matim to me at all because of this stupid system, you know? And, you know, what's going on over here? She says, eating me up. She goes, I'm ready to throw it all out. She said, what she said to me, I'm ready.
Wow.
I'm ready to start going dancing with guys to meet a good guy. That's what he said to you. If anybody knows what the New York Shizuchim scene is for these girls, you understand her frustration. I've spoken to about four or five girls who said things like that. It's incredibly difficult. But that's what she said. So I thought at the time, and by the way, Baruch Hashem, she met a really nice guy. I hope she gets this guy to get engaged, this girl. So I just turned around. She said this about 6 months ago. But I said to her at the time, that, you know, I thought of this Gemara, you know, Al Tikne Be'Ose Avlo, you know, it's difficult in life when you go through life and you see people who don't act properly and then they, you know, everything goes great for them and you feel like you yourself, after putting in so much time, you're falling and losing out and going through such difficulties. And it makes you envious of people and you question yourself. In the end, there's, you know, a person doesn't lose from doing mitzvot in this world. You have to take pride in your accomplishments and what you've done. And if it's difficult, then Kodesh Baruch Hu will pay you for it, you know. But it's not easier said than done. It's not easy. And that's what Shem Baruch Hu is saying over here. He's saying, that's the true pshat. David HaMelech is saying that even when you, the Osa Avla is an avoda in life, not to be envious of people who do Osa Avla, wealthy people. What are you envious of them for? They're Osei Avla. You have to be with Shalom with Hashem and proud of our spiritual accomplishments. Hashem, Shomer Negiah all these years, and it wasn't easy, and I did it, and I didn't. I'm proud of myself for it. I'm envious. The person doesn't lose. Anyway, he says Rav Shimon, that's the real pshat over here, Don Melch is trying to say, and you learned it. Don't be over zealous against them. Don't start up with them. You have your own problems over here. You're too afraid. You're suffering from a bad need of fear of Rishon. And that's behind why you misread the portrait. And because of that, and because of your own avarice that is making you afraid all the time in this world, because of that, you couldn't say proper Rishon. Anyway, that's what happens when you ask Rishon Bar-Yachai. Kasha, you know, doesn't say it's mutter to start for Rishon Bar-Yachai and all of that, you know. But so he said to him, okay. Now, before she said that Rishon was saying something a little bit deeper than this also, besides giving the guy Musa and telling him that he misread the pasuk, because, you know, that he saw that fear comes from our own unconscious understanding that we're loy for an onish because of avarice that we do, which is the source of our fear. He says like this, he says, some of Hashem learned that Rishon Bar-Yochai is actually saying also like something else to him. He's trying to say that in truth, the Pasuk could be learned like that in a certain way. Don't out tikne, don't be a zealot against Osei Avra. It's possible to learn such a thing like that. Only, he says, it depends who's learning the Pasuk over here. If you're a person, there are two different levels here. If you're a person who's learning Torah Lishma, you're a person who Sholem in Avodas Hashem, so then, go ahead and do it. Person who's, what I was just reading from Zimbo, person Shomer Torah, learns Torah Lishmoy, he doesn't worry about Rishoy, but all of a sudden. However, if you're a person who libo nokfo, if you're a person who isn't filled with this eish of Torah and doesn't care about injustice so much, so then it's also for you to start off with it. In other words, if you yourself, it's like a bit like you're saying about Kanai and Pokimbo, you know, if you, it's a different reason, but if you yourself don't care that much about what's this person, then for you it's forbidden. It's definitely forbidden. Because you're not on a level to deal with Hashem openly like that. We can't do it. And therefore, Dafka Misha Liba Nokfo, somebody whose heart is pounding inside of him. So he learns the pshat like you. But you really want to start up with Hashem and all of this, so you have to really be on a level of Ove Hashem Sinura. And if that's where you're holding Ove Hashem Sinura, that because of your deep love of Hashem, out of that comes a hatred of evil in this world. And then you have a head there from Shiva by your mind. But as you're not on that level, Olam Hazem, go underground, you know, like Yaakov Avinu again. It's Yaakov and Yisrael, right? Those are the two levels over here. So, Fulila. Now, the Gemara isn't finished, however, right? That's where the Gemara begins, really. Says the Gemara, however, the Gemara now goes further and asks, "Eini," says the Gemara, another question from Shimon bar Yochai. Says the Gemara, says Rav Yitzchok, "Im ra'ita rosha shosha misacheches loy." Says Rabbi Yitzchak, if you see a Rasha that the time, the moment is playing with him, or smiling for him, playing for him, I don't know how you translate it. Shasa misasha misachekis lo. So, you have a time who the Shah is misachekis lo, is playing with him, so to speak. So if you see a Rasha like that who's on top, so Altis Garaboy, it's forbidden to me mitkotei to fight him. As it says, I think there's another pasuk, Yachidu Drach, I should have given you, you know, inside. Yeah, it's forbidden to fight with him. Here's a pasuk, Yachidu Drach Apokoleis. Velo, not only that, but you should know this person, this Russia, if you take him to court, he's going to be win the court case. He's going to be Zoha and Din. If you take this Russia to court, he's going to be Zoha and Din. Oh. As it says, Moro Mishpatecha Minegdo. But not only that, but Shiro Bitsarov, that means that he's going to see, you yourself are going to suffer as a result, and he's going to see you suffer. He's going to get some sort of Sipuk joy out of that. As it says, Kol Tzororov Yafiach Behem. So here we have again another mimer that when Rishoyim in this world are powerful, so if you fight them openly, you'll lose. You can take them to court and the din will side with them, even though of course you're right and they're wrong. But it's in a time of Hester Ponim, which is what we're talking about. Hester Ponim is a time where justice, who's right and who's wrong, nobody knows. You don't know, the judge doesn't know, nobody knows. And in that period of time of Hester Ponim, if you fight with them, so you're never going to get ahead. You'll lose all your battles, even your court case. So the question is, what is Rav Shimon going to do with this? How could Rav Shimon say it's forbidden? So the Gemara gives three answers over here. The first answer is that it depends. If you want to fight a Rosh in this world, it depends what you're fighting him about. If you're fighting him, b'mili didei, for personal reasons, so then never, never fight a Rasha for personal reasons. You'll never win. However, b'milui d'shmayim, d'shmaya, in word, things of heaven, heavenly matters, so then it's permitted. The scripture is saying, when can you fight with Rishayim? B'milui d'shmaya, if he's not allowing you to do mitzvahs, like Mordechai, and he's not going to bow down, so then okay. He's not bowing down. Yeah, that's a mitzvah already. I want to show that I believe in Hashem. So then, Rav Shur Bar Yochai is saying it's permitted. But only in the case of mitzvahs is it permitted. If you want to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim in mitzvahs, he's trying to do averas. So then you can say and fight Rishoyim over mitzvahs and Olam Hazeh. Then it's permitted. However, personal things, the guy's taking you to court, the guy is taking money, you know. There, Rav Shur Bar Yochai never said it was permitted. He never said you could do, you could fight with Rishoyim if the person is, you know. Who knows, you know. You have to, not in an open way, you need cleverness, you can take a lawyer, you can do it, but just come right out and say you're a Russia and you're cheating me, and you're cheating, you should know that you're gonna, you know. Personal affairs, so you won't win. You won't be able to make it. Only in really the Shemaya. That's who knows. Only in really the Shemaya. If not, you have to leave alone. That's the first answer. Reboy Zayim. Well, the second answer is that even in heavenly matters, it's you shouldn't start off with Rishoy. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it works this way. That even if you're doing a mitzvah like bowing down to you're bowing down, Mordechai won't bow down. Even those types of things depends whether it depends on the time. Is it a Rosh Hashanah Hashem Misacheches Lo, or a Rosh Hashanah Ein Hashem Misacheches Lo? Now, the question: what's the pshat on this Hashem Misacheches Lo? Anybody know what's the pshat? What does it mean? It says, when there's a rasha where the Shah is, the hour is playing with him, playing for him, with him. So then, at those times, if you see that a rasha is, everything is going well for him, you stay away from him. That would be like, mamish like Haman. That he's on top of the world, and everything he does is Achashverosh is raising him to the top, and he's all this power, and everything is going right. He's a certain mazel, and as a result of that mazel, you know, everything is falling in line for him. If you see that's how it's going, so then, even Mili Dishmaya, you never deal with it directly. You try to get out of his way, you try to run away, you never do it. Even to Russia, that you see that his mazel is going the other way, you know, so then you can start off with him. But it depends, only in that situation, which isn't so simple. It's really not so simple. And you see that in life, that there are certain times, Rishoyim, you know, Hitler, Rashua for years, all of a sudden his mazel is on the Aliyah, and he conquers this country, then Haman is brought, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts these people up. And when Hashem is lifting these people up to positions of power and authority, putting everybody in their hand, and he's winning one success after the other, conquering one country, these types of people, you see a person like that, so you got to stay away. Because there's a certain mazel in his favor right now. Now, we don't really believe in mazel. I don't know what we mean by mazel, but the language over here is an interesting. What's the pshat shah misachek islam? What does it mean that the? What do you think the pshat is over here? If you see a rush shah misachek islam, the time is, the hour is playing for him, smiling for him, misachek islam. So I learn like this, that really, he's being played with over here, this Russia. Kodesh Baruch Hu is playing games with him. He's lifting him up to throw him down again, as it is with Rishayim. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu will see a Rasha, and he wants this person to rise and gain power, and he's going to use him for something. And since he's going to use him for something, he puts into his hands power. He needs this person to be in a situation of power. Either, why does he need him there? We don't know. He wants Nebuchadnezzar to rise to power. He has an onus to give to Klal Yisrael. And Nebuchadnezzar is the one he's picked. Now, a person like that, so Hashem wants him to be powerful. And because Hashem wants him to be powerful, that's the Ritzon Hashem now, that this Rasha should be Matzliach. He's using him, he needs him, he's bringing him up to use him. Now he's playing with him, because in the end, Hashem lifts up Nebuchadnezzar to slam him down. He's going to take it, and he's going to, you know, whatever he's going to do with him, either he's paying him off in this world, or he's using him for his own purposes, so he's playing with him. But nevertheless, it's Hashem's Ritzon that this Rasha have power now. And if you start up with him, you're going against the Ritzon of Hashem. You're going against the Ritzon of Hashem. He wants this guy to have power now. And so what are you starting up with him for? Now, you could get out of it. You could just run away if you see him coming. Run away from him. Dive in a cellar. You know, bow down, you know, do anything, if it's not against Allah. Whatever you can, bribe him up with bribery, pay him off, do all sorts of things to deal with your own problems. But don't stand up openly and say that I'm a Jew and I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem and you're a Russian. And I'm not going to fight you. Because you'll lose. Because it's the Ratzon Hashem that he has power now. And he's given him power. He's given him power over you. And anything you do openly to fight him, you're going to lose because Hashem has given him power now. Therefore, you're obligated to run away. You have to take care of yourself. You can't do it. That's called the mazel of the Hashem is playing with him. He's lifting him up. He's using him. If there's a Rasha who isn't been lifted up to positions of power in a supernatural way, like this one Rebbe writes this about Hitler. He writes about it in his Maamar on the Shoah. He says, anybody who's been bonehead into the times, yeah, and saw the success of this guy who was a Russia, a lowlife, down and out person in the streets of Vienna, you know, Hashem all of a sudden takes him and lifts him up from garbage and kimmy me off our doll to a place. He says, there's nobody who doesn't realize that it's there's something like supernatural about how he's lifted up. Nobody knows what is going on here. You have to know what's going on. And when you see a person like that, so that's the Ritzon Hashem now, that this person and how Hashem is playing with him. And therefore, even in Mili Dishmai, even things of heaven, you're going to lose and you have to take care of yourself. You run around, you try to bribe them off, but you never stand up and say, I'm right. You can bribe them off if you want. You give them money, you can deal with them. Yeah. Nothing open. That's called Yaakov, as I said to you, as opposed to Yisrael. Yaakov means that's how you deal. However, a regular Russia, who he doesn't have that power, he's just stammer Russia, then fight him. Shimon Bar Yochai writes, if you're on the Madrega. Then you can fight a regular Russia, Shimon gives you a heter to do. A regular Russia, he's not being lifted up. He's stammer Russia, he wins sometimes, he loses something. He's crazy. Fight him if you want, it's mutter. But in Mili Dishmaya, you can fight him. But not Rosh Hashanah Sachek Islam. That's his Chiddush. It's the second answer to the Gemara. All these things, we know how to learn these Gemaras properly. They're very big yisodos in how to deal with people in this world, how to deal with Rishon. These are halachas. If you don't know these halachas, you get in big trouble in life. As I said to you, this guy, you have to know. How do I deal with Rishon? What should I do?
You know, well, it's not like which bar for Rishon you're. Which kind of Rishon you're dealing with?
You have to know. For that we need Gedolim. You have to know how to read the Gemara and apply it. Is it a Rosh Hashanah Sachek Islam? What do we do? When do we stand up? Fight. When do we not stand up? Is it really the Alma? Is it really the Shemaya? You know. So I tell you, it's an extremely important Gemara. Look, his one third answer. And says like this, that even with a Rosh Hashanah Misachek Eslo, so you can start up with him. However, only if you're Tzahi Gomor. That's the third answer, which is really similar really to what Rav Shimon answered the other person earlier. Could be. He says like this, that if you're Tzahi Gomor, so then you can start up with a Rosh Hashanah, even Rosh Hashanah Misachek Eslo. Because the Pshat is like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants this Rasha to obtain power. He's lifted him up. And he has his own reasons why he's doing it. He wants to give an onus to somebody else. He wants to run history in his own way. He's lifting this Rasha up to power. So that's his Ratzon now, that this Rasha has power. You go and you say, I'm starting up with him. Who are you to do these types of things? So you're not going against the Ratzon Hashem. Now, if you're a person who's not a Tzadik Gomor, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gonna bring din on you. It's like, you have the right to go against this guy when I bring him up. What are your schusim? And he's gonna look at you with pure din. And if you're a person who's space lush and hard, you're finished. Hashem's not gonna give him. Hashem's gonna let him own b'manish you because he wants this person in power. You yourself, I think he's gonna use this guy to give you an onish. That's why he's lifting up in the first place. And therefore, if you're a person who's a Rasha who's done a veris, he's going to take him, and he's going to give you that very onus. He's lifting him up to give onus to people. So you're finished. If you're a person with a veris, yeah, a body you can't deal with a person like that. Only if you're a Tzadik Gomor, and your attention is only with Shem Shemam, and you don't have any veris, so then Hashem can't use him to give you the onus that he brought up for. What do you say? Right, it's Hashem's Ritzon. But so if you're doing it only with Mili Dishmaya, only for the sake of Shemaim, you don't have any affairs on your own. So then Hashem isn't going to use him to admonish you at that point. And you can fight according to this mandoma. According to this mandoma, it's permitted to start up with Rishoyim and fight them openly. If you're a Tzadik Gomor, I think we Mili Dishmaya. It's not clear, I have to look at them before Shem, I can't remember what they say now. This is the last one. But then you could do it. I don't say then it's permitted to start up with it. As it says, Dabar Avuna, Maidiksi, what's the shot? Lama Tabit Bogdim, Tahrish Bebola Rosh and Sadiq Mimeno. It says, get into Yelam. Why is people are quiet when a Russia swallows up somebody who's quite more righteous than him? Ask the Gemara, does a Russia ever swallow up a Tzadik? How could it be? Rather, it says Tzadik Mimenu, that a Russia Shasham Esachekeslo will swallow up a person who's a Tzadik Mimenu, who's more righteous than he. Complete tzaddik, a Rasha will never swallow up. But a tzaddik who's a tzaddik in comparison to this Rasha, first, just because you're more righteous than he doesn't mean you'll win when Hashem wants this guy to be lifted up. The thing is sound in life that sometimes it's the Ratzon Hashem to lift up Rishoyim. He's doing it, that's his Ratzon right now. In those periods of time, even though you're more righteous than him, he'll swallow you up. Swallow you up. And that's what's going to happen. And therefore, anyway, so that's more or less the end of this Gemara. And that's how it comes out, as I say here, in the end. In life, we have to be very wary about how to deal with Rishoyim. We have Rav Shimon's thing, it's Mutar. You want to go and do it, but as you see, and also sort of tenoint in general, because Yaakov, you know, that we pass, especially in exile, which is a time when Shamas Chek is low. So, like my teacher told me, it comes to deal for sure. It's Yirut and cleverness, like Yaakov says, the love on. He's a model in these things. Yaakov, you know, I'm more clever than you are. Fighting him this way with the things, you know, not an opening. You know. You never say things, you have to be very careful in saying things openly, even to his wives. This famous, you know, Yaakov Avinu, Hashem, you know, Lavan tries to cheat him 100 times. And Yaakov the whole time is struggling in these battles with him, you know. And then Hashem appears to Yaakov and he says, you know, go back to Eretz Israel. So what does Yaakov do? He brings his wives out to the field and gives them this whole speech. I want you to know that I've served your father, you know, so well for 40, all these 20 years. And I was righteous to him. I never stole anything to him. I treated him more than a regular son would do. I mean, all these things. You know. And you know that the entire time he's cheated me 100 times, this way and that way, this way and that way, you know. And but I've been so honest with him, righteous with him. And Kodesh Baruch Hu came to me the other day and told me, Yaakov, yeah, it's time for you to get out of here and go back to Eretz Israel. I want you to know, do I have your permission to go? So everybody asks, you know, Yaakov Avinu, if Hashem appears to you and says, get out of here and go, what do you do with your wives? You schlep them with you. You say, let's go, we're going. Pack your bags. I'm here. Why? Where are we going? We're going here to say, why? We're going. Hashem told me in a dream last night, we're going. Let's go. Well, I'm not ready. So what do you want? It's my father. What are you talking about his father? Hashem speaks to me in prophecy and you're worried about your father. Let's go. You know, that's how I would speak. Hashem gave me command, you know. You start screaming at your wife, where's your Yerusha? What's the matter with you? Let's go. Well, give me time to just, what do you mean time? Nevuah, let's go. Yaakovina's there. Gives this whole lecture, how good I've been, and I really have the right to go, and I need to listen to you. Yeah, Rada, it's all yours. What kind of way? Father has been cheating you, you're 100% right. By the way, there's no go from Hashem. Saw spoke to me last night and told me to go. Okay, we'll go. See, it's the same concept that in Olam Hazeh, when things aren't revealed in an open way, yeah, you have to deal with things, yeah, based on the halachas of Hester Panim. And in those days, you can't just break through and say things openly, because you'll get so much resistance that in the end you'll fail. You can't just in this world tell your wife, we're going, we're doing a mitzvah, I'm going to go learn, it's a mitzvah, I'm going, let's go. As people sometimes do, it's the end of the shalom. But you can't just barely speak like that. You have to gain their approval, and getting approval means you have to work, and has to pardon them, you have to get them to accept it, you have to get them to see it, you have to get their haskama. If you try to ram things down people's throats because of your, you know, direct spirituality, you'll lose it all of us there. You can't do it. You got to work with people where they're holding and with their own feelings, and then get their agreement, and then you can tell them. And of course, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu told me to go yesterday. That's it. We don't speak direct truth in times of Hester Panim. And Ra, whether it be a Yetzer Hara, whether it be a external Ra, yeah, Yetzer, you never say Giri Be'enei HaSatan, but rather we have to deal with cleverness to the Yetzer Ra. We have to satisfy it and go through its claims and answer its claims and go back. And then if we treat with the Yetzer that way, people have resistances. You know, my wife's not going to want to go. It's going to be hard for her to leave there. She's going to feel bad. I'm going to have a husband. All these psychological truths, you know, that you have to deal with. It's kachas evichayim. Because that's how life is. And Hester Panim, we deal with the realities of this world as realities. Because they are realities. Unless you're Tani Gomor, even in Mili Nishmaya, you function within the realities of this world. And that's true of the Yetzirah, that's true of everything else. And if you learn that trick, so then you'll find success in this world, and you'll be able to make this world better. If you don't learn that trick, so then you just get destroyed, either by the Yetzirah or by Rosh Hashanah. Swallow you up. Okay. Did you have a good Shabbos? You're on time.